In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, "Ask what I shall give you." The wise ruler asked for a wise heart, discerning between good and evil, right and wrong, so that he might serve God's people well. It was a humble request that flowed from faith. The sons of Zebedee, however, take an initiative. They say, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." No humility. Nothing flowing from faith. And yet our ever-patient Lord will not be forced to act, but he is like a father who knows that the next words out of their mouths are going to be unwise. And he is right. They misunderstand his glorious kingdom. They imagine themselves to be like Solomon, that they could be a benefit to Christ in order to bring order and the kingdom of God to this earth, ruling side by side and under Christ alone. Forgetting that wisdom itself stands in front of them as a sacrifice. And so Christ teaches them what the kingdom of God actually looks like on this earth. It looks like weakness, betrayal, suffering, blood, and death. It looks like abandonment in hell, darkness, and a grave. That is his glory, that is his kingdom, so they don't know what they are asking because they fail to see his cross as his glory. Glory comes through the cross, that much is true, but it is even more clear to say that glory is his cross. The cross and the suffering that preceded it was not just something he had to go through to get to the glorious resurrection. It wasn't get done with the bad stuff first and then move on to the good stuff. No, his cross is his glory. For there he took your place. There he stretched out his hands to gather you in. There he bled to atone for the sins of the world. There he won forgiveness. There he crushed Satan. There he closed hell. There he destroyed death. There he reconciled sinners to God. There he opened heaven. There he accomplished all that God had sent him to do. Glory to God in the highest. For the Son of God was lifted up to draw all men to himself. His resurrection, then, reveals what the cross accomplished. His resurrection is glorious because his death was glorious. "So you do not know what you are asking," Jesus replied. Glory in suffering, glory in pain, glory in bleeding, glory in death. The cup that I drink, you will drink. And the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. For their lives will be conformed to Christ's life. Their glory will imitate his glory. And so they will suffer even as he suffered. They will die even as he died. Through much trials and tribulations they will go through in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Today we remember St. James, the brother of John, and friend and co-worker with Peter, fellow fisherman. We call him James the Elder in order to distinguish him from James the Lesser, Jesus' other apostle. About 10 years after our Lord ascended into heaven, King Herod Agrippa I arrested James and put him to death with the sword. He is the first of Jesus' apostles to die. So like Abel, he is well known. Like Abel, he doesn't speak in the scriptures. The request actually comes by the hand of their mother. Like Abel, he is silent as he pours out his blood to confess Christ. So he silently sheds his blood to confess that Christ is his Lord. And that is his glory, his honor, and his strength. For when he is weak, then he is strong. His life is not about him. His glory is not about his longevity or where he traveled or what he was able to accomplish. But his glory was found in being conformed to Christ. As Christ was unjustly arrested, so was James. As Christ was killed by a Gentile ruler, so was James. As Christ was killed at the time of the Passover, so was James. As Christ was killed to appease the Jews, so was James. The silent witness of his blood speaks a greater testimony than his words. He confessed the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. So Herod's sword enlivened his body, and St. James received it in faith, in joy, and with a cheerful heart, because his Savior died for him, so he might die in his Savior. The cup and the baptism that Christ speaks of are the sufferings that God chooses to send. For St. James, it was death. For his brother John, it was a long life, the last of the apostles to die. And yet that life was also filled with much hardship and exile. For you, they come in a variety of forms. They make you weak, but only so that the life of Christ might be revealed in you. So find glory not in everything going your way, but glory when things do not go your way. For it is the Father's will that you drink that cup and be baptized with that suffering. As St. James embodied the Lord, the Lord's glory, so you also embody the glory of the Lord. It is seen in your weakness and your discomfort, your pain, your suffering, your stressed and burdened heart, and finally in your death. The glory of God is manifest in the strangest of ways, in the strangest of places, so that you might have hope, hope for the life to come. The cross is Christ's glory, so your weaknesses are your glory. So glory in your cancer, your diseases, your stress, your frailty. Glory in your inabilities, your weaknesses, your trials and difficulties. For when you glory in your weakness, then you glory in the Savior who died and suffered to redeem you. His sufferings make yours bearable. More than that, his sufferings make yours glorious. And his death makes your death glorious. Come. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you from before the creation of the world. Receive it and rejoice. Whatever your cup may be, know that it is not a cup of wrath, of judgment, or of condemnation. For your Lord drank that cup down to the very dregs, so that he might fill a cup up with his own blood. And it is because of that cup which you drink that you are able to endure the life that God sends. Whatever vocation the Lord has given to you, it is for his glory. As he said, he came not to be served, but he came to serve. And he has created you to serve one another. And as you carry out your vocation in service to others, you are once more conformed to Christ. As you empty yourself in loving service to others, you embody him who emptied himself to serve you, redeem you, and save you. He was baptized with fire, fire from heaven as he sat on that dark Friday afternoon, so that you might be baptized with the Spirit of fire in water. The glory of God is most certainly revealed and found here on this earth, not in palaces, civic laws, or beautiful buildings, not in peace, prosperity, or comfort, but in service, in weakness, in trouble, and in discomfort. The glory of your youth may now be gone. Your best days are far behind you. And so his glory is now more clearly revealed in you. So boast all the more in your weaknesses so that the glory of Christ may rest on you. These martyr days put into focus the reality of life on this earth. It's not easy. There are many obstacles, but Christ is faithful. He brought St. James, the elder, home when he saw fit, and he will do the same for us. Through the ups and the downs, the good times and the bad, he will be faithful to us. What today specifically teaches us is that those bad times are actually times to glory in Christ. So this little pitiful ailment cannot rob you of heaven. This hostile culture cannot deprive you of Christ. This tragic, even an early death, cannot remove you from God's love. So we may laugh at them and mock them and deride them, for they have no power over us. Even as we breathe our last, it is actually a breath of victory. For in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.